UST. Together, we build for boundless impact.
China's economic rebound loses steam, while a journal survey finds economists more upbeat on their prospects for the U.S.
The recession forecasts are still historically elevated, but there's definitely pullback on the odds that they are putting on a recession in the next year.
Plus, U.S. pay raises outpace inflation, and we'll check in on the money race shaping next year's presidential election. It's Monday, July 17th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. China's economy is barely growing. GDP data out this morning showed growth of just 0.8% over the second quarter, compared with the first 3 months of the year. It is the latest sign that China's rebound after abandoning COVID controls around the start of the year has lost momentum. The hope was that Chinese consumers would buoy the economy and reverse a real estate slide, but today's data suggests that hope may have been misplaced, with June retail sales rising just 0.2% last month compared to May, while youth unemployment hit a record high. Meanwhile, economic sentiment is moving in the other direction across the Pacific, where economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal are lowering the probability of a U.S. recession in the next 12 months to 54% from 61% in the prior two surveys. Journal reporter Harriet Torrey explains the new outlook by forecasters.
This is definitely a noticeable change. And the reason that economists are pulling back their recession forecasts is because of the Fed's achievements, essentially, in bringing down inflation while the economy has remained relatively robust. It's definitely not the case that economists are really breathing a sigh of relief on their recession forecast. They do have in their forecast job cuts for the beginning of next year, but it just seems to be getting pushed back, and the economy has just been definitely stronger for longer. So what this tells us about the overall economy is that it has just really exceeded a lot of expectations. I mean, we did see several months when it seemed from economists' expectations that a recession in the next year was all but a done deal, and now their recession forecasts are starting to really tick lower.
Speaking of a robust American economy, American workers are getting a boost that could help to fuel increased spending. According to the Labor Department, pay raises are finally beating inflation after 2 years of following behind. Wages rose more than 4% in June from a year earlier, while consumer prices over the same period increased by 3%. However, as Journal Personal Finance reporter Joe Pinsker told me, that relief could be short-lived for the tens of millions of Americans who will soon owe monthly payments on their federal student loans after a 3-year pause on payments ends in October.
According to a report from Wells Fargo, the typical monthly loan payment will be somewhere around $200 to $300. And just to put that into context, if you look at the most recent data for median household income in the U.S., which was just over $70,000, that would work out to the equivalent of a pay cut of somewhere between 4 to 5%.
And Joe, with this multi-year payment and interest pause coming to an end soon, can we say what effect it had on the financial health of borrowers?
The most common response, according to a study from researchers at the University of Chicago, was actually to spend the money. And as a result, people who had their payments paused actually ended up taking on a bit more debt than borrowers who had to continue making payments through the pause. It translated to about 3% more debt, which works out to $1,200 more if you're looking at credit cards, mortgages, auto loans.
That was Journal Personal Finance reporter Joe Pinsker. A key bridge connecting Russia and the occupied Crimean Peninsula has been disabled by an overnight strike presumed to have been carried out by Ukrainian forces. Footage from the bridge showed a westbound span of the highway collapsed and the parallel eastbound span displaced, which means it would likely take weeks, if not months, for traffic on the vital artery to resume. The parallel rail bridge, which is more significant for military logistics, was intact. The 12-mile bridge, which was meant to be a symbol of Russia's permanent control over Crimea, was attacked by Ukraine last October, though officials waited months to acknowledge responsibility. Meanwhile, Russia has said that it's withdrawing from a Black Sea grain deal that had allowed Ukraine to resume exports, a move that is raising concerns about a key link in the global food supply chain. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov told journalists today that the deal had terminated, but that Russia would rejoin the agreement if its demands were met, according to the Russian state news agency TASS. Russia's invasion of Ukraine had forced a halt to all exports from Ukraine's main Black Sea ports, contributing to a surge in global food prices. Coming up, a money race could shape next year's presidential election. We'll crunch the numbers within new fundraising reports to see who's got momentum in the Democratic and Republican fields after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
The campaign finance reports are in, with the 2024 Democratic and Republican candidates for president having submitted their fundraising tallies and spending receipts for the last quarter. And Journal reporter Jack Gillum is here to give us the top takeaways from the money race shaping next year's election. Jack, let's start, shall we, with the Democratic side of things. President Biden is obviously seeking re-election, though he does have a pair of long-shot rivals contending him for the nomination. What did the financial tallies from all three of them tell us about the president's strength?
Well, the president brought in about a little under $20 million from his campaign committee. That doesn't include some other fundraising mechanisms like the Democratic National Committee. At the end of the day, it really leaves him with about $77 million in the bank when you add all these additional fundraising. The president does far outpace his rivals, main ones including Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Marianne Williamson. So as far as anybody credibly challenging him for the Democratic nominee, that's pretty unlikely. The real question will be, as he goes into the general election, how will he face off when Republicans unite around a single candidate and their contributions go to one person and not several?
All right. So turning to the Republican field, which is considerably more crowded than the Democratic one, give us a rundown of the fundraising numbers on that side of things.
Well, as you can imagine, Donald Trump has the most money in the bank as of the end of June. That's an important metric because that's, of course, the amount of money that they're able to spend to hire staff, to do advertising, to do all sorts of on-the-ground activities that a campaign needs, especially as we go into Iowa, New Hampshire, and other early primary states. Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina, has about $21 million in the bank, which is pretty impressive for a candidate, considering that he is not one of the top two. That, you know, it's believed that Donald Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis really are the top candidates at the moment. Ron DeSantis raised actually $20 million, mostly from large donors. And the former president, Donald Trump, had gotten a little less than that, about $17 million. So there's a lot of money on the Republican side. Some other candidates like Nikki Haley, the former South Carolina governor, has still about $7 million left to spend. So there's several candidates, including Chris Christie, former Vice President Mike Pence. Really a pretty wide candidate field right now that I think as time goes on, we will see these donations coalescing around one or two candidates, maybe even up until the Republican primary is over.
Just going below the top line dollar amount, Jack, are there some other takeaways here that jump out to you about this Republican field?
Well, interestingly enough, the former president's indictments, that is when he was indicted by a New York grand jury a couple months ago and by a federal grand jury more recently, they were actually in a way good for his donations. When we mapped them out and looked at how many dollar amounts had come in by day, actually his indictment by the Manhattan district attorney brought in several million dollars in the days that followed. This sort of comports with the former president's fundraising pleas. He sent out several emails, at least that I saw, about arguing that he would face more than 100 years in prison and please make a contribution to save America. And what we found is that at least if these fundraising emails are any metric, his supporters really heeded his calls for financial support.
And finally, I have to ask, Jack, just how important are these numbers at the end of the day? Is this the money captured in these sorts of reports that is actually going to potentially decide the 2024 race?
Well, we have a couple of different factors here that have made it different than the campaigns of decades past. One is that this is one of the few elections going back to 2012 that post Citizens United, the Supreme Court ruling that allows for unlimited sums of money to be given to these outside super political action committees known as super PACs. Their fundraising has not been reported yet. And because they allow unlimited donations, we might see significant number of contributions in terms of dollar amounts. Now, the other difference, of course, being is Donald Trump. He still remains the apparent front runner. He still drew in the most money. What these figures show really is they're a bit of a metric of popular support, especially with small dollar donors, those who give under $200. It really sort of shows a bit of a populist support of maybe people are looking for an alternative to the former president. In fact, we've seen some evidence of people who gave to Donald Trump 4 years ago who are now giving to one of his Republican rivals. And money isn't everything, especially for Donald Trump. He has almost the king of free media, where news stories and other publicity gets him out there in front of voters without having to spend a single dime on campaign advertising. So this is a very early look. We still have more than a year to go before the November 2024 election, but it is a good indication of, I think, where the American electorate is right now in terms of popular support, perhaps, for a Republican nominee to take on Joe Biden.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Jack Gillum in Washington. Jack, thanks for the update. See you next quarter, maybe.
Thank you.
Investors have pulled more than $700 million from Cathie Wood's flagship exchange-traded fund, ARK Innovation, over the past year. That's according to new data from FactSet, which marks a notable shift for a fund that became an investor darling shortly after the pandemic, as Wood made hugely successful bets on tech companies. Markets reporter Jack Pitcher explains what's changed.
This fund used to be the largest actively managed ETF, but it has suffered a lot of brand damage in the last 18 months. Its bets on unprofitable tech companies went really bad. A lot of them have bounced back somewhat this year, but the fund is still down 70% from its all-time high. Why it's now facing outflows as it rallies, you've got investors sitting on pretty big unrealized losses that are taking this bump as a chance to get out and diversify.
And United Airlines has struck a preliminary contract agreement with its pilots that would provide them with pay raises of up to 40%. This comes as major airlines boost wages and incentives while grappling with a pilot shortage. According to union leaders, United's agreement also includes changes to work rules that are aimed at giving pilots more control over their schedules. The agreement still needs to be made final and ratified by its pilots. The deal underscores new dynamics for pilots in the now-booming airline industry, as pilot unions at Delta and American have also reached new labor agreements that include substantial pay raises and other benefits. And finally, in addition to pilots, the booming airline industry will also need a more sustainable form of fuel if it hopes to green up air travel. However, after years of research, sustainable aviation fuel, or SAF, only accounts for a minuscule portion of overall fuel needs. To change that, airlines are getting creative and considering new SAF sources, even including municipal waste, as touted by Sesame Street's Oscar the Grouch in a recent ad. But according to Corey Levinsky, a senior biofuel consultant for S&P Global Commodities Insight, SAF demand still outstrips supply, and there's little tolerance for price hikes on the part of consumers.
Vegetable oils, fats, waste oils, greases, are also used for fuels for the on-road transportation sector. So the same feedstocks are used for biodiesel and renewable diesel. So there's competition. Airlines have tight margins, and customers are always looking for the best price. And it's uncertain how much tolerance consumers have for increased prices by using biofuels.
And that's What's News for Monday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
ServiceNow is the intelligent platform that puts AI to work for people across every corner of your business, all in a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow.